Welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. My name is Pastor Matthew Verseman, and I have the joy and privilege of sharing God's Word with you today. If you don't have a church home, we'd like to invite you to worship with us at Trinity Lutheran and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. And this time of year, we also have midweek Lenten services each Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at those services also. Let us begin today's message and service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in confessing our sins to God for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Amen. If that is your glad confession, then I have the privilege of sharing God's news, good news with you. Jesus says, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John chapter 9, and it reads, Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned that he should be born blind, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Having said this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. And then he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. This is the holy gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he meant it. He is the light that enlightens, the light that gives all mankind light. John said so too. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. When God said at the beginning, let there be light on the first day of creation, it was actually the light of the world who spoke those words, and the lights literally came on, and there was light. And no matter what kind of light we're talking about, whether candle power, incandescent, fluorescent, direct sunlight, or reflected moonlight, James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now notice, he says, I am the light of the world. Everyone's included in the light that our Savior Jesus has come to bring, until or unless they're excluded by their own unbelief. There's no place in the world where Jesus doesn't shine his light. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the light of the gospel. And Jesus has shined that light upon all the world. People may not know it. They may not see it. They may not believe it. They may not even want it. But the light of Christ's forgiving death has and continues to shine upon the whole world, the same way that light shines on a blind man, even though he can't see it. He might insist that he's still in the darkness. But the reality is, and everyone else knows it, that the light is shining on him nonetheless. He just can't see it. And that's the way it is with this dark, unbelieving world. The forgiveness of sins that Christ earned at the cross is shining on the world for everyone. 2 Corinthians 5, Christ died for all. No one is excluded. But the key is, do they all see it? Do they know it? Do they believe it? And do they want it? There are many who don't. But there are many whom the light has not been revealed to yet. Which is why the Bible says that we are to rise and shine, for your light has come. Now, today's miracle of the healing of the blind man is the sixth of seven signs in John's version of the gospel. In case you're counting, Jesus changed water into wine. He healed the official's son at Capernaum. He healed the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water. Now he's going to heal the man born blind in the pool of Siloam. And finally, he will raise Lazarus from the dead. These miracles are more than just nifty displays of Jesus' power. They are revelatory signs of God's grace and that the Savior of the world is here in the person of Jesus Christ. By these signs, Jesus is revealing what we would otherwise not know, that he is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, even as Isaiah 35 promised, that the blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the mute will speak, the lame will walk again. This is exactly what Jesus is doing, and it's evidence that he is the Savior of the world. Jesus' miracles are not like many of the TV preachers, where they'll say, if you just have enough faith, or pray hard enough, or send us enough money, you can get your goodies. If that were the case, ophthalmologists would be out of business. If it worked that way, forget about going to the eye doctor. All you need is a little spit in mud and presto change-o, name it and claim it, perfect 20/20 vision. For the TV preachers, the miracles are little more than getting candy from a candy store where you put in a prayer, a nickel of a prayer, choose your miracle and God dispenses it, whether you believe in him or not. But biblically, the main reason Jesus is giving his miracles is to enlighten, to reveal that the Savior of the world has arrived in the person of Jesus. And so, in our text, it begins with the disciples asking Jesus a question. And so they ask, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he should be born blind. That's the old cause and effect performance plan question. If you perform well enough, good things will happen. And if you don't perform well enough, bad things will happen. But oftentimes, that's a bunch of hogwash. The reason that there is suffering in this world is because even when we haven't sinned any specific sin that would cause a specific effect, nevertheless, our whole world and every sinner's life is broken by the corporate sin and the corporate guilt of that sin. And and both the world and our bodies are decaying, awaiting the day of the resurrection of all flesh, when all who are in Christ will be completely healed and healed forevermore. That day's coming, and what a great day it's going to be. The good news is that even though God didn't cause this blindness, it's a result of the corporate sin and corporate guilt that has fallen upon this world ever since Adam and Eve sinned. Nevertheless, Jesus says, you know what? I can use that. A man is born blind, and Jesus says, this happened so that the works of God might be made manifest in him. So God takes a guy who's been born blind from birth and uses him to show that the Savior of the world has arrived, and to show him, the blind man, that his Savior has arrived. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And in this case, he spits on the ground, makes some mud, sticks it on the blind man's eyes, tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man comes back seeing. Now, as miracles go, this one is off the charts for style points. Jesus walks up to a poor blind beggar who isn't even calling to him or asking for anything. He spits on the ground, makes some mud, and puts it on the guy's eyes. A case of harassment, you might say, if ever there was one. Jesus never asked for the world's permission to die for it. Jesus just went ahead and died for the whole world, even without your permission, even before you repented. And the whole world and everyone listening has already died for by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The only thing that will cause you to lose it is if you refuse it in your unbelief. But there's method to Jesus' madness. This is the sixth sign in John. And the mud takes us back to the sixth day of creation, when God reached down into the mud and made Adam out of the dust of the ground. And here is now God in the flesh messing with dirt again, touching up a defect that has been caused by Adam's sin and ours. The miracle reveals Jesus to be the creative word who made man out of mud in the beginning. And there's water worked in too. The mud alone doesn't do it. He sends this blind guy with mud on his face to a local pool called Siloam. Now think baptism here. Not just any water, but that particular water to where God attaches the promise. In this case, he attaches the promise to the pool of Siloam. In baptism, he promises healing and forgiveness in the pool or the water of baptism. And so this man, he listens to the words of Jesus and obeys them. And he goes through the streets of the town with the spit and mud in his eyes, thanks to Jesus. We don't know if someone led him or if he called out for directions and they directed him. But this is not simple mud only. This is mud that is combined with the promise of God that at the pool of Siloam, when he washes off the mud, he will see. All the people in town are looking at him right now and pointing and wondering what the heck happened to him. But then he washes his face and comes back with perfect 20/20 vision. The neighbors are so blown away, they aren't even sure if it's the same guy. And then Jesus disappears, which means that the blind man actually had never laid eyes on Jesus. When he was talking to Jesus, he was still blind. When he comes back to where Jesus was, Jesus is gone. What's going on? What's the deal? Now that he can see, Jesus is nowhere to be found. And then things get really out of hand. The religious authorities come to investigate the miracle. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day. And that was no accident. See what I mean about this miracle being way off the charts in terms of style? Spit and mud in a blind man's eye, sent to a pool called Siloam, all on the Sabbath day, I'm telling you, it doesn't get much better than this, short of raising the dead, which happens in next week's message. Why couldn't Jesus wait until the next day? Because he insists on tweaking the Pharisees' religiosity and their thinking that they can get to heaven by their performance plan rather than by the forgiveness of their sins. There obviously wasn't a rule about healing the eyes of a blind man, but there was a rabbinic rule about not making clay on the Sabbath, which was to prevent you from making bricks and working on the Sabbath. Now, spit and mud are not quite bricks, but rules are rules when it comes to the performance plan people and the religious do-gooders who think they can get to heaven by their goodness, who couldn't see God's mercy if it hit him in the face. So the verdict is that Jesus is a Sabbath breaker, and thus he can't possibly be God who told us to honor the Sabbath day. That's about as far as religiosity can run with Jesus. But he doesn't play by the rules of the do-gooders, so he can't. How can a man from God be a Sabbath breaker, they ask? But wait a minute. A blind man now sees because Jesus put mud in his eyes and told him to wash his face. Religiosity says it doesn't count because he broke the rules. But the world will not be denied God's mercy, regardless of what the rules say. This man who was blind now sees again because of Jesus, whether you like it or not, whether anyone likes it or not. So now the religious leaders call in the guy's parents, who don't want to get involved because the deck is already stacked against anyone who says that Jesus is or might possibly be the promised Messiah. So they call in the blind man for a second time. This time things get nasty with the religious types who insist that Jesus can't be from God, and the man born blind keeps pointing to the fact that his eyes now see. The whole thing finally blows up, and they kick the guy out of the synagogue, which means that even though he could see that he's been healed, they're not going to let him have the forgiveness of sins anymore. They're going to cut him off because Jesus doesn't meet their expectations. So let's tally the guy's balance sheet. His eyes work. His parents aren't talking, and he's lost his place at the temple. See what happens when Jesus puts mud in your eye? Jesus, who just happens to be in the vicinity, hears what has happened to this poor guy. And he comes to the man. Notice, Jesus finds him. We don't find Jesus. He finds us. Why? Because God isn't lost. We are. So he finds the man, and he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Which has to sound like a question coming completely out of left field. Remember, the man doesn't recognize Jesus because he never laid eyes on him, at least eyes that worked. In other words, the man is as good as blind, even though he can now see, when it comes to realizing that Jesus is the one who healed him. So he says to Jesus, "Who is he, this Son of Man? Tell me that I may believe in him." And then Jesus says, and talk about turning on the lights, Jesus says, "I who speak to you am he." And the man takes Jesus at his word and says, "Lord, I believe." And he falls on his knees and worships Jesus. The proper thing to do, by the way, when you've been forgiven all your sins and you've been given the vision to see that Jesus is your Savior with the eyes of faith. So he falls on his knees and he says, "Lord, I believe." And he worships Jesus. He trusts in Jesus. He takes him at his word. Faith has nothing to do with literal seeing and believing. man could have still been blind. It wouldn't have made a shred of difference as far as his faith is concerned, because faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the words of Christ, Romans 10. And faith takes Jesus at his word, regardless of whether you're blind or not. You see, water, the word says, you see water, but it's the word of God that empowers the water in baptism and makes it a means of grace for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit and for salvation, 1 Peter 3, and for being clothed with Christ, Galatians 3. And it's the word that says in the Lord's Supper, this is Jesus' body and blood that is given and shed for you, a sinner. It's shed, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And through that word, the Holy Spirit works faith that declares, I am forgiven and I am a child of God because God says so. Don't argue with grace. Just enjoy it. And now the kicker. Jesus says, I've come into this world for judgment so that those not seen may see by the working of Jesus' mighty word, even attached to miracles. And I've come for judgment so that the seeing might become blind. He says this within earshot of the Pharisees, who immediately catch his drift. Are you saying that we're blind? If you were blind, you'd at least have an excuse and no sin. But since you insist, Pharisees, that you see, that means your blinding sin remains because you don't recognize my signs or my words that I am the Savior who has come to rescue you, forgive you, and deliver you. And that's how it is with light. The same light that makes you see can also blind you. The sun gives us light to see. But stare directly at the sun for too long and you'll become blind. That's what Jesus is saying. Unless you become blind to what you see or think you see, that you're going to get to heaven by your religious do-goodism, and that a respectable Messiah would let you into heaven by your good works. If you try to see him through the lens of your religious rules, he will make you blind again. You really don't see the Savior. But if you embrace your blindness and trust your ears that hears the word of God instead of your eyes, you will see Jesus for who he really is, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas after he saw Jesus' wounded hands and side. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But how can you believe if you haven't seen? Through the word of God. That's how. Seeing is not believing. Seeing is oftentimes the opposite of believing. If you see it, you don't have to believe it. And if you believe it, you don't need to see it. There isn't much of Jesus to see these days. And even when you could see, he wasn't much to look at, as the prophet Isaiah reminds us. But seeing him is not the same thing as believing in it. Believing in him is taking him at his word when he says that his death forgives your sins. When he says that you are caught in a death and a resurrection that forgives you and raises you to life and will not let you go. You can't see that yet, but you can believe the word that promises that. Jesus is the light of the world. The whole world. The blind see him through the eyes of faith. The seeing see him through the eyes of faith. And that faith is worked through the message, the good news of our Savior Jesus. So God in his mercy made an example out of you like Jesus made an example out of the blind man. opened your eyes to Jesus. He enlightened you with the Spirit's gift, especially the gift of faith. He baptized you in the waters of baptism rather than the pool of Siloam. You have been given to see that Jesus is your Savior and that His death is for your forgiveness. And it's not just some little secret to keep to yourself. It's for the benefit of everyone around you. You are the salt and the light of the world. So rise and shine, for your light has come. God has opened your blind eyes to see Jesus is the Savior, so that you can tell others that they're included in His forgiving death and His victorious resurrection. So we are little lights to the world of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Our message is to the world, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you too. For He is the light of the world. He's been shining since before day one, and He hasn't stopped shining. He shines in the darkness of your sin and death. Between noon and three of His Good Friday, when the sun gave not its light, and the whole world became dark at that moment, nevertheless, the light of Christ's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness was shining from the cross for you. He shines on you here and now as you've heard this message. He never stops shining on you and never will as you read His word. Remember your baptism. Receive the Lord's Supper. Do you see? Of course, you don't see Him yet with your eyes. You don't see your resurrection life yet that will be yours on the last day. You don't see heaven yet in all of its fullness and glory. Yet you see by trusting the word. Here's mud in your eye. All in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank You that You have broken into this dark world, which is getting darker every day. It's becomes more dark with the sin, with all of our sin and all of the death and all of the disease and all of the decay and all of the things that we just see, how we as sinners and others have sinners have broken this world, and how the devil himself has broken this world. And as a result, we all need to be rescued from this darkness. We thank You, Father, for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. The light that He shines is not just some incandescent light or fluorescent light or the light of the sun. The light that He shines on us is really the light of the forgiveness of every sin we ever did wrong, and we thank You for that. He shines on us the light of life in place of our death, and the light of salvation in place of our damnation, and the light of heaven in place of our hell, and the light of His forgiving grace and mercy in place of the devil's accusations. So, Lord, we pray again this day, may You, by Your Holy Spirit, working through the powerful Word of God, through baptism, and through the Lord's Supper, may He continue to shine Your grace, Your mercy on us sinners, that then we will have and continue to have the light of life, the light of forgiveness, and the light of salvation, no matter how dark this world gets. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. Amen. We thank you again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur, Illinois. And we invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15, and also to worship with us on Wednesday nights at 6:30. May God bless you now and always. Amen.